Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so if you go to that site as well as the Mobius Strip Press site, you will find a plethora of content and information regarding Reclaiming the Republic and what we need to do to solve our problem. Because I will tell you, the Convention of States will not solve the problem, nor will just educating people solve the problem. We actually have to take action. And so struggling with organizations that only want to educate and don't want to take a position is the epitome of frustration for me. It's just like, I don't think they're apathetic, but I just think that they are possessed by that group thought. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so the number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. This show, as I've said before, and I'm putting it out there, if you know a state legislator, then let them know that there's actually a show just for you, because we are out to support state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting your liberties, your constitution, your republic, and you from federal tyranny. This means that if one state legislator stands up, that means that they're protecting all of us, because they are basically taking the courage of standing in front of the federal government and calling them out for violating our constitution. And so I just want you to kind of understand that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm asking you, please support Chad Christensen. Go to chad4idaho.org, and there's a little donation right there on his page. Please donate. Their primary is this coming Tuesday. Even if it is $5, that's all I'm asking. Just give some small amount, a token amount that's not going to hurt you. Give as much as you can. But please give something so that he can get a good little burst to get the word out, to make sure people vote for him, get him across the finish line, and get him into the state legislators in Idaho for the 2019 and 2020 sessions, because he will bring up the auditing principles and calling for an audit, as well as calling for Republic review. That being said, I couldn't get any other, and you'd think that Idaho is a pretty red state. Think again, it is a pretty establishment state. Republicans and those who are seated in their seats are very well protected, because that's why they have such an early primary. And I know I've ranted on this a bit before, so I won't rant on it again. I'm just letting you know that Chad Christensen needs our support. You can get my podcast, so you can listen to the different ratification debates, Federalist Papers, and all these other documents that I cite from the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, Madison's veto, and so forth and so on. And the reasons why you want to get my podcast, because of all this content, this is the only show, first of all, this is the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to the federal government. And the second reason is that all of this content that I'm providing actually will stitch together and make an oh my gosh moment for you to go, there's just too much to ignore. All the facts are here. We should be doing this, and this is what we need to do. The third reason is that the content that I do talk about, whether it be things in the news or whether it be literally these founding documents and so forth, or even Platonism, it's important that you understand that this stuff is not temporary. This stuff will withstand the test of time. So in 50 years, this will still be the most relevant content out there, unless somebody else starts getting into doing this instead of just maybe talking about, you know, your passionate hot buttons. Because I believe everybody's hot button will be their liberty once we lose it. There's no doubt in my mind. So don't forget, you can download these podcasts from reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also want to point out that I do have, remember, I've got this presentation out there. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and hit the take action button on the right-hand side, that will take you to my page. And down that page, there's the information for Chad Christensen right there and my other endorsements as they pop in. But underneath my presentations, I have two PDF files there for you if you want to download those. I have a link that will take you to this video. It's amazing that dog videos go viral, but a video that will explain to you what we have to do to save our liberty, if we're going to save it, is not viral. And so I guess it has to be cute, pithy, and make you feel warm inside. I will tell you that we will feel very cold inside the day we lose our liberties. That being said, I know that there are a few, and I've actually got somebody that's actually offered to help, and I appreciate that. And so thank you, Lauren. And I would love to have more help. If you have time, I can give you some, let's call them tasks or what have you, especially if you've got a computer, you're kind of literate with computers. If you have money and you want to just throw some money at this, by all means, throw some money at Chad right now. Don't send me a penny. I would much rather get him across the finish line, because their election, again, is this coming Tuesday. And so a good little blitz right now over the weekend would be good for him. That being said, if you have the time and you want to volunteer or help, then just by all means, hit me up on Facebook. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org is an email address you can hit me up with as well. I looked outside. I've scanned the news. There is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles. And so I'm just going to put it out there. If they don't do it, then that means that we're going to have to do it. And are you willing? And what's it going to take to get you engaged in doing this? Because it's got to get done, folks. If it doesn't get done, then they will complete what they need to do to push us into a globalist society. And there is no doubt, there's more than enough evidence. You have to really ignore all the evidence to say, that's not going to happen, because it's happening. They're already in that position of trying to control everything. And if you look at these kids coming out of their school system, it's not a good picture. Anyway, so I know I have this question regarding what and where in the Constitution does the federal government get the authority to create and manage reservations? And so I got that, and I will ask that question again on Monday. But what I'm going to do on Fridays is I'm going to basically pose open question Friday. You know, there's open phones Friday. If you have a question that is just, eating at you, you want to ask me a question about something, then by all means, just give us a call. And again, that number is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. That's pretty easy to remember. All right. And I if you haven't got your tickets, you better get your tickets really soon in going to the Red Pill Expo in Spokane on the 21st to the 23rd of June. And so you need to get your tickets online at the redpillexpo.org. They will be premiering The Dead Man Talking of Lavoie Finicum. It's a documentary you won't forget. And they're also offering for the first so many people, I think it's $350. They are giving away last year's DVD album of the Red Pill Expo. So you may want to get your tickets now and have a nice little vacation and rub elbows with some very conservative thinking people. I also wanted to go over this one thing. I know I mentioned it yesterday, that Connecticut and there's a few other states that have kind of signed on in giving away their electors for the presidency to whoever wins the popular vote. And I was thinking about that. Wouldn't it be ironic if one of these states, let's say Connecticut, chooses one particular candidate and the popular vote actually goes to the other candidate, because we're a single party system with two choices. And so wouldn't it be funny if all of a sudden they said, hey, we're committed to, we signed this pact and it's got to go to this other person because that's the popular vote. And we don't want to do that. We have a moral objection of throwing our electoral college votes to that candidate. So we're not going to do this. And so I can just see that happening. I can absolutely see that happen. Like in 2020, if Trump actually storms the popular vote, how many of these states are really going to uphold this pact that they're voting into? And so I would find it ironic if that be the case. And so we'll just see. We'll know in 2020 what the outcome is as far as whether they're going to do what they say they do, especially if Trump wins the popular vote. I will be right back because we're up at a hard break. And as soon as we hear from our sponsors, I will be talking about ratification debates again. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
I wanted to also bring up, and I'm sure you probably heard about this. If you haven't, this is something that's worth at least a good giggle and maybe a conversation. I don't know if you've heard how many times, or if you can count probably, and got a dime for every time you heard this, you'd probably be a millionaire. But every time we seem to have issues of guns and so forth coming up in the media and talking about gun control, they tend to always point to Australia. They all surrendered their liberties and gave, turned in their guns, and they became an armless, if you can imagine that, society. And they just had a mass shooting in a society that's supposed to have no guns. And so how'd that happen? Well, when you don't have guns, then the criminals will have guns. And that's the bottom line. That is always that and the government. And that poises the government to an exceptional advantage over their citizenry. That being said, I'll also say, and I've said this before, that in today's world, the advantage goes to the government by extreme measures just due to the technology that they can bring to bear in any type of conflict, especially in dealing with civil unrest. And I was, I forget who I was talking to, but I was talking to a person last night regarding these individuals that are going to resist and fight and have a civil war if necessary against the government. It's one thing for a civil war between the ideologues of, Antifa and those useful idiots that Lenin would call them. But it's another thing if you really think you're going to take on this military with the type of intelligence and the type of technology. I mean, they don't even have to be near you and they can, look at what they're doing with drones and everything else. And the day that they put this Constitution aside is the day that posse comitatus goes away, the day that all of our protections will go away. And therefore, if you're a prepper, if you're somebody that is believing that you need to resist, now is the time to resist. It is not when all of a sudden our Constitution is gone. If we're not fighting to protect this Constitution and our constitutional republic right now, if we're not doing this now, then I don't think there'll be time to save it later. I think we're fooling ourselves and getting to go see one more baseball game or football game or what have you will all of a sudden seem very trivial in the grand scheme of things. So that being said, let me keep moving on. And I know we're just about a week and a half out from going into South Dakota's endorsements, if there are any. I've been reaching out. It just seems like everybody wants to avoid. And so here's the funny thing. I was talking to a partner who runs the Focus website and the Focus efforts. And I was talking to him about some of these really red states. And if you actually go online and you look at the people that are running for office and heading into the primary in some of these states, and South Dakota is a key example of this, there is so many legislators that are running for office and senators that are not opposed. In other words, it's just like a cakewalk. The only person that will be opposing them, not in the primary, but in the general election, will be the other parties. There may be a Libertarian, they may be a Democrat. Obviously, there's a few Democrats, and they'll be down-selected through the primary process, but it's pretty much a slam dunk. If you get past the primary and you're the incumbent, you are going to get that seat again. The odds of you losing, you really have to fall on your sword to lose that election. And so my point is that many of these people, I don't think, have the interest or the concern in trying to understand how they are responsible and what type of job that they should be doing in protecting their citizens. So they kind of become what's the best word? Maybe establishment or elitist would be probably an appropriate word for it. And so it's kind of difficult in some of these states. I believe in some of these other states, and I'm really actually surprised, and I'm going to tell you this because I've mentioned this before. South Dakota is one of the states, and here's a dark red state, asking the federal government to get involved in creating a national enforcement of sales tax. What that's doing is it's opening the door for the federal government to become the broker of states' sales tax because of internet sales. And they're not getting their full revenue. And so they're getting desperate to going after these revenues instead of actually, why don't they just get rid of their sales tax and say, you know what, we got to admit that the sales tax thing is a way people will skirt this. And so what we're going to do is start doing a use tax or start doing property tax. But then again, those people that don't live in, you know, or own their property, they don't necessarily pay that directly, but you can't affect, you cannot not affect their rent. And so there's other ways states have in obtaining their revenues. And the smart thing would be, instead of basically punishing everybody and creating a bigger bureaucracy, so now all of a sudden you have to spend more money because of your collection process. How much money would the state save if they just did away with the collection process, that whole office of doing sales tax, and just say, you know what, we already got a property tax assessor over here. We're just going to basically take more property tax, and that's what we're going to do. And that way we can make up our revenue, and that's all we have to do if you do that. Or you have to do income tax. There are other revenues instead of sales tax, and you can get rid of that. But bottom line, some states become very dependent on those tax dollars instead of trying to streamline, become efficient, and so forth. So with that, I was really surprised the fact that South Dakota, a dark red state, I think they're like the third most conservative state in all of the union, and they're leading the charge for a national sales tax enforcement with the federal government. Anyway, let me jump into this, and I probably won't have time to really get into some details of the ratification debates, but I want to let you know that, as I've always said, and here's the two facts that I want to espouse at this point in time. If we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. The only defense that we have that can save us is the Constitution, and the only weapon that will destroy our enemies is the Constitution. And so with that, let me move into who is actually going to be the next up in the ratification debates. And I remember talking about Mr. Grayson going over the bodies of legislative, and he had a hard time fathoming how two ultimate sovereigns could even coexist in the same body of Congress with the Senate and because they were at that point in time, and this actually goes to supporting my concept of republicanism. At that point in time, they were unicameral. Most of these states were unicameral legislative bodies. They didn't have two separate and distinct legislative bodies. And therefore, after the Constitution was ratified, every single state modeled themselves after the U.S. Congress legislatively. They created a Senate, which represented the interests of the counties, and they created a legislative or a House of Representatives that would basically see to the needs and the requirements of the people of the counties. It was never designed to create representation of the population and dividing amongst the population. The effort and interest was of the counties, the citizens of the counties, as well as the county's physical interest or the government and management interest of the county's needs and requirements. Anyway, with that, I'm at that hard break. And so as soon as we come back, I'll probably talk a little bit more about the republicanism, and then we'll get into Mr. Pendleton's comments regarding Grayson's comments. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And actually, going into the break, I was mentioning that Pendleton was responding to Grace, and actually he's responding to Henry in this little quote I'm going to give you. However, but before I do that, I wanted to kind of finish this idea in this concept of republicanism. If you take a map of the United States and you drill in, and you can actually get these maps online, just do red state or red county 2016 of the United States, and it'll give you the entire United States, and it'll actually show you each of the states break out of whether they're blue, which counties are blue and which counties are red. If you look at these states, and then you have a state map of what states are blue and red without breaking out the counties, then you'll actually start to realize in comparing these county maps versus the state maps that you'll see blue states that are really a lot of red. So what happened is that during the 1800s, people lost sight of republicanism because the focus started shifting towards suffrage from the Civil War and everything else. We wanted to give everybody the vote. And that was all about the socialist communist movement coming in here, because the framers clearly warned us about a democracy and mob rule. And the reason they set up a republican form of government, because they knew historically that democracies would destroy a society. Remember that, Alexander Teitler was the guy's name. He talked about the 200-year cycle of democracy, how that as soon as people realize that they can vote, you know, at the expense of the public purse, all sorts of benefits, they will literally bankrupt a country and it will fall. And so the framers, that statement from Teitler, who I believe was Scottish, came out around the same time that they were founding and going through the Declaration of Independence. It was even before we did the Constitutional Convention. So they knew the dangers, and that's precisely why they set up a Republican form of government and constrained it so much so that they made it impossible, and so I'm using this word impossible, but that's not how it played out, because they duped us, they lied to us, and they deceived us. But the framers made it impossible that the politicians in D.C. did not have the power to buy your vote. In other words, if you want to vote for me, I'm going to give you free college. They don't have exclusive use of the public purse to do anything and everything they want. That's why I'm going through all of these documents, to prove to you that the framers locked them down to very specific enumerated powers, so they can only use the public purse in seeing to these delegated powers that the states gave them. That way, and this goes in line with, and as a matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to get into this because I had this conversation with a Convention of States representative today. And so he was talking about the importance of term limits. And I said, term limits isn't even a problem. And he goes, oh, absolutely it is. And I go, not if we force compliance to the Constitution. Because all of a sudden, if we're forcing compliance to the Constitution, then no politician is going to be able to use lucre and bribery in, you know, convincing states to do things, because they can't do that. This Constitution doesn't allow them to do that. The Constitution doesn't allow them to create health care for everybody. The Constitution doesn't allow them to give education to everybody. It is constrained to the very specific enumerated powers within Article 1, Section 8, and you can find some throughout, you know, maybe Article 4, but bottom line, it's Article 4, Section 8 is where Congress was limited, and same thing with the federal court. The federal court, and because he was talking about the problems with that, and if you read somebody's Liberty Amendments and you realize some of those amendments, those amendments don't save the Constitution. The amendments themselves are basically trying to kill an elephant with a fly swatter. What we have to do is we have to force compliance. All those amendments supposedly to these deficiencies, those aren't deficiencies. The deficiency is compliance to the Constitution. So back to this republicanism, if you go back to that map and you start looking at states that are literally red counties, primarily red counties. Good examples, California and Washington State, and even Oregon. The majority of the counties are red. And if those states were following Article 4, Section 4 of the Guarantee Clause, then their state legislative body, at least the Senate, and probably the House, would be controlled by red, or I should say conservative and or Republican legislators. This is why it is very important that we start complying as states as well to the Constitution, but not one state is doing this. This is why you've heard me actually propose, and I support the concept of every state that has population centers, whether it be Illinois, Indiana, Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada, Utah, any state that has a population center that is starting to control the legislative bodies and the businesses of the everyday life of their citizens and literally becoming tyrannical and progressive. Each of these states should be calling for a state constitutional convention. And by doing that, these state legislators will literally recognize the threat that's going to come, because in a state constitutional convention, the counties will be sending their delegates. And just like a regular constitutional convention, it's one county, one vote. And so these population centers like LA, they're not going to be happy. These population centers like San Francisco, they won't be happy. Or Seattle, or Portland, or Salt Lake, or Las Vegas. These huge population centers will go, oh, we're going to lose our representation. And actually, no, they've been getting away with dominating because they've been using democracy or population over the territory of the state, because the states are different, and different counties, or I should say the counties are different within the states. And just looking at Nevada, there's the open desert, there's the hills, there's the mountainsides and lakes. They're very diverse, and the interests and needs of those counties are different, and the representation of those people and their requirements are different. It's the same thing with California. That's why the United States was broken up, so that the states could pursue those things that were different and unique to those states, and ensuring that they could have representation in protecting their interests. Counties are the same way, and counties should be giving voice in their legislative bodies for both their representative, and it boggles my mind that you find 5 counties or 10 counties in California that have to share their voice with one senator and a couple of representatives in their state legislature. Is that what we call a representative government? Oh, well, if it's only the people that we care about, then yes, then that's a democracy. But in a Republican form of government, each county and each seat of government needs to have its voice and representation. Therefore, I can't impress upon you enough of how important these factors are in learning this stuff. And so right here, Pendleton is talking about the importance and the conflict between the state legislators and the congressional legislators. And he says, I got a minute and a half, and I don't think I'm going to get through this. But we are told that there will be a war between the two bodies equally our representatives, and that the state government will be destroyed and consolidated into the general government. I stated before that this could not be so. Two governments act in different manners and for different purposes. The general government in a great national concerns in which we are interested in common and with other members of the union. The state legislators are out mere local concerns. It is true, are merely imaginary that the state legislators would be confined to the care of bridges and roads. I think that they are still possessed of the highest powers, our dearest rights, life, liberty, and property. As Virginians are still in the hands of our state legislators, if they prove too feeble to protect us, we resort to the aid of the general government for security. The true distinction is that the two governments are established for different purposes and act on different objects, so that, notwithstanding what the worthy gentleman said, I believe I am still correct and insist that if each power is confined within its proper bounds and to its proper objects, an interference can never happen, being before two different purposes. As long as they are limited to the different objects, they can no more clash than two parallel lines can meet. Both lay taxes, but for different purposes. The same officers may be used by both governments, which will prevent a number of inconveniences. And so I'm going to get into what he was just talking about here, but we're at this hard break. Because bottom line, if they stay within their confines of their constitutions and for the purposes of what they're supposed to be doing, they're not supposed to clash at all. But we find that the federal government has got well outside its bounds of the Constitution. And we'll get into that when we get right back. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And basically what Mr. Pendleton was just saying was that the distinctive roles between the states and the government were like parallel lines. They weren't supposed to clash. They were not supposed to cross. As a matter of fact, I'll just re-emphasize the fact, being for two different purposes, as long as they are limited to the different objects, they can no more clash than two parallel lines can meet. And so the federal government was not supposed to be teaching. As a matter of fact, I'll go back to my citation of the cod fishery bounties, where Madison used the most, what do you want to call, the most exaggerated type of example of using the welfare clause, because if they use the welfare clause for anything and everything, the next thing you know that they would take over education, and everybody goes, oh, there's no way the federal government's supposed to be doing that. But he pointed that out as an exaggeration to the fact that you cannot use these clauses and you are confined as the federal government, because he was talking to Congress and he was telling his fellow congressmen, we are confined to these enumerated powers. We do not have any ability to provide any bailouts to the cod fishery organization or industry. We cannot provide bailouts to the banking, to the automobile manufacturing agencies or institutions and corporations. We are confined to what is within the Constitution. And nowhere in the Constitution does it allow us to bail out corporations. There's no such thing in the Constitution as too big to fail. And so the reason why our government has strapped us with all of this debt and has been doing all of these things is because they've been violating and not staying within those boundaries or staying limited to those objects that they're supposed to stay on or into or doing, if that makes sense. I apologize. But the whole point is that the state governments were supposed to keep the federal government in check. And they failed to do that. And that's why the states now have to wake up and say, you know what, we really failed in doing this. So now we're going to actually pursue auditing this contract and forcing the federal government back into the confines of the Constitution. So let me go into one more. And this is why this is really important that I provide you these insights. I mean, do you believe that you're better off listening to everybody else's opinions on the same stupid issues? Or is it better that you actually hear so many different perspectives that I can pile up so much evidence that it is just overwhelming that you cannot refute the fact that the federal government is so far outside the boundaries of what it's supposed to be doing that if we do not engage, we will be destroyed as a nation, as a republic, and as a people. Because those who take over, those who will receive conservatorship over the United States, because there's even maps of it that I remember looking, it was, I think, in a 92 book or what have you, that they were forecasting that the western side of the United States would be under China's control, and the eastern side of the United States would be under Russia's control, and so forth and so on, that they would just divide America into basically four quadrants. And they've already talked about this. They've already planned these things. And if you look at the UN, they're planning this as well. What kind of evidence do you need? What is it going to take for you to say, you know what, I need to start helping GR in getting this stuff moving? Because I'm asking for your help. At the beginning of every show, I throw it out there. Please, if you want to help, contact me. Anyway, here's a citation from Mr. Mason. This is on page 237 of the Virginia Ratification Debates, and the Pendleton one was on page 187. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, unless there be some restrictions of the power of calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, we may very easily see that it will produce dreadful oppressions. It is extremely unsafe without some alteration. It would be to use the militia to a very bad purpose. If any disturbance happened in New Hampshire, to call them from Georgia, this would harass the people so much that they would agree to abolish the use of militia and establish a standing army. I conceive the general government ought to have power over the militia, but it ought to have some bounds. If gentlemen say that the militia of a neighboring state is not sufficient, the government ought to have the power to call forth of the other states the most convenient and contiguous. But in this case, the consent of the state legislators ought to be had. On real emergencies, this consent will never be denied, each state being concerned in the safety of the rest. This power may be restricted without any danger. I wish such an amendment as this, that the militia of any state should not be marched beyond the limits of the adjoining state, and if it be necessary to draw them from one end of the continent to the other, I wish such a check as the consent of the state legislators to provide. Gentlemen may say that this would impede the government and that the state legislators would counteract by refusing their consent. This argument may be applied to all objections whatsoever. And so this is kind of an interesting insight on what the militia was supposed to do. And the reason they had a militia was so that we wouldn't have a standing army. And I want you to fathom this, though, that these militias were to be used as a part of the state. Nowhere in here do they talk about sheriffs. Nowhere in here do they talk about local law enforcement and militarizing them. The only people that should be militarized would be the citizenry of the militia. And so nowhere in here did they talk about normalizing the state militias into National Guards. I am telling you that the National Guard structure is a violation of the Constitution, that they need to be militias, they need to be a part of the citizenry, and that we need to move away from having a standing army. Now, the Constitution does allow for a standing Navy because that was the intent of projecting force and providing security for commerce. But the standing army was literally the concept of an occupying force, and that's what we kind of have today. Now, it's one thing to have forces around the world in protecting commerce and protecting interests. And if you're a libertarian, by all means, call in, because we can go down this path, because I know that most libertarians and lots of people are going down this path of saying, we shouldn't have any military other than right here in our hemisphere. And I will tell you that the day we pull out of the world, and I completely agree, because I've been saying it long before Trump ever said this, that the whole world should be paying for this military security force that basically keeps the pirates at bay and so forth. And if you want to call it like thuggery or what have you, then so be it. But somebody has to pay the cost of having a security and a force that can secure the flow of commerce, because commerce needs to flow for our businesses to succeed and for our consumption of goods or what have you, raw goods, whatever. We have to have the free flowing of commerce. And so that's why we have to have some type of security force around the world in ensuring this. And it goes all the way back to Jefferson. And that's why he sent the Navy and the Marines into the Mediterranean to Tripoli to basically put down the harassments that they were getting from the Ottoman Empire, and specifically out of Libya, that was basically frustrating our lanes of commerce. And so by going in there and doing that, it ensured the security and the free flowing of our commerce. I don't know if you realize what was going on and why they had to go through that route for anything that was coming from China, India. Actually, there wasn't a lot of trade coming from China back then. It was primarily like tea and so forth was coming from India. And so the reason that they were going through the Mediterranean instead of going all the way around the Horn was due to the fact that it took a long time to go around the Horn, and it was less expensive and cheaper to literally just move commerce across the land and then put it back on ships and then come out the Mediterranean straight to the United States. Believe it or not, that's how slow commerce flowed. It took a month and a half to sometimes 3 months for a letter to go from Virginia to get to France and vice versa. So when, you know, husbands and wives were communicating back in those days, it took a long, long time to, you know, get your reply back. Hey, where did you put my pliers? or something like that. And so we live in a completely different paradigm. And there's no doubt in my mind that the framers, had they lived in our paradigm, would have been using technology. They wouldn't have Congress sitting in the halls of Congress today. They would be sitting at home being available to their constituents instead of being available to lobbyists. Well, it's the end of the week. It's the end of the show. I am out of here. You have a great weekend. I will be back on Monday, and I'll have some surprises because I'm going to have some guests coming in this week, so or next week. And so we'll talk to you then. God bless.